Welcome to Path to Glory, a Warhammer Underworlds podcast that focuses on competitive gaming, player development, and community growth. As always, we want to start by thanking our Patreons. You actually help make this podcast possible, so thank you very much. If you're interested in learning more about joining the Patreon, check out patreon.com/path to glory. As always, this is Amon Kusuro, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jonathan Davis.
Hello.
What is up, my man?
Not much. I am ready to review some new cards.
Yes. And as much as we enjoyed recording a three-hour episode last time we did one of these, I think we'll try to jump into this as quickly as possible. So, for reference, this episode was recorded on September 20th of 2020, and this is the second of our special card commentary episodes where we reviewed the newest cards released into the game. So today, we'll be going over the 40 new cards released in the Arena Mortis set. The set is currently available for pre-order, and it releases this upcoming Saturday, so 6 days from now.
Very cool.
Yeah. So let's jump in, Jonathan. Let's jump into Arena Mortis.
Yeah, we're going to do our review. We do want to mention that this review is going to come from a championship format, alliance, and relic sort of format point of view. The Arena Mortis game format, I think, is its own beast. I think if you want to learn more about that, I would check out Amon's article on the set. And I definitely recommend trying to play it. I'm looking forward to it as well. I don't have the set yet, but when I do, I'm going to try it out.
I appreciate the plug. And it's going to be fun. Looking forward to playing games with you and other people when we can.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to set up like some kind of streaming or something. That might be fun. I think Arena Mortis might actually be pretty good for cam games. One of the things we wanted to mention as well, before we actually get into the cards, is that the Skeleton Warband, the Sepulchral Guard, has received a slight rules change with this update. The set actually comes with a new Warden fighter card and a new Restless Dead power card that are worded slightly different. So they've sort of received a official errata, which is pretty cool. And effectively what happens is anytime you raise a skeleton back up, you'll gain what's called a raise counter. I believe these are also used in the Arena Mortis game mode. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of these cards will reference a raise counter. And effectively that means that these are either Arena Mortis only or only for the skeletons. So as sort of a side effect of this release, they've received a lot of new cards, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I think it's super neat. What do you think of this change? I know a lot of people were questioning why didn't other, you know, warbands that bring fighters back get the race counters, namely Spiteclaw Swarm and the Grimwatch.
I think the reason is that I don't think those warbands are actually resurrecting fallen fighters. I think they just have more fighters like waiting in the wings, so to speak. So that's, I think that it's probably just a fluffy decision. I think it's cool that they've sort of buffed I consider it a buff because these are new cards and they didn't have before. So if they end up using a couple of them, then it's better than not having them. So I think it's cool that they've buffed one of the older war bands and maybe people will play them a little bit more.
Yeah, I completely agree. They are the only warband that truly resurrects fighters. The other ones, as you mentioned, just happen to have the same weapons and upgrades as the one that died.
Yeah, that is kind of strange, but yeah.
Yeah, I always like to think of it as that, like, they just pick it up and then run back in. So.
Yeah, that could definitely happen as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever thought about that before. These raise counters are making me look at it a little bit differently.
Whole new light, man.
Yep. Okay, well, I think we're ready for the card by card review. Do you want to take the first one?
Well, because you insisted, yes. Let's start with a risky prospect. Choose one friendly fighter and roll 3 magic dice for each roll of crit. Gain 1 glory point for each roll of a channel. Deal 1 damage to a chosen fighter. I think the card is very well named. It is indeed risky. If you think you're going to roll a bunch of crits, then maybe you can gain some glory. I think you have like a 49% chance on three dice. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but
yeah, I think it's high 40s. Yep.
Yeah. So
to get at least one.
Correct. But you have an even higher chance to roll a channel. I think there's three channels.
You're
on
almost
there.
Definitely going to roll a channel.
Yeah, it's like a 50% on one, you know, on each die. So it's a bit too risky for me, but I guess if you're really, really struggling or feel lucky, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I think that there are probably other cards that do this a little bit better. Daylight Robbery, I think, is a very similar card to this. It's a 50% chance to get one glory, so it's actually a little bit better. The ceiling on this one is probably better. There is a chance that you'll get three glory. It's like probably 2% or something, but could happen. I could see trying to take this in maybe a Gitz deck where you really need that first glory and maybe you don't care if a fighter takes a damage or two. Although I guess you could lose a fighter in that situation, so maybe not. But yeah, it's interesting. I guess it's also worth mentioning that there are 20 ploys and 20 upgrades in this set and no objectives. But I think we're probably good to go to the next one unless you have anything else to say on that one.
I do not.
All right. It is at any cost. Spend 3 glory points. If you do, choose one friendly fighter with no charge or move tokens. That fighter makes a charge action. What do you think of that, Gambit?
So I really like the mechanic this card introduced. So you can spend glory. It's the first one we see where you spend glory to be able to do other things in the game other than equip and upgrade.
Yeah.
So it's pretty expensive. It's 3 glory. However, I think it's quite useful because, you know, if you have more than 4 fighters, you only have 4 activations. So then you can maybe get a 5th activation at a pretty expensive cost. I think this card combos really well with another card in the set. We'll go over that later. But I think it's really exciting. It has a lot of tactical applications. I'm really interested to see, you know, how it works. It might be overhyped, but I think it's certainly on my radar.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it's just really cool design space. Being able to, like, by having the cards cost glory, they've basically made it be sort of a late game card. So you can make a really, really powerful card, but if it costs glory, like, it's sort of balanced that way. Like, I don't think I would ever expect this card to be restricted, but it's a very, very powerful effect. It's just probably not going to see activation until the second round, which is something I don't think we've really seen. We haven't seen late game ploys really in the same way that we've seen like late game objectives. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I almost think it might be too expensive because if you really think about it, this costs one supremacy.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, in a lot of my games recently though, probably somewhere in the middle of the second round, I start having more glory than I do upgrades to spend it on. And I could see some situations where, you know, maybe at the end of the first round, if I have a good first round, I might have like 5 unspent glory or something. And then being able to activate, charge with one fighter, play this, charge with another fighter. That's an extremely powerful, you know, first activation play that I think could be worth it. I mean, on something aggressive like Magor's or maybe Blade Coven, I think there's a lot of very interesting application and I think I'm excited to try it out.
Yeah. One thing to note is that you can res a fighter in the power step and then play this card and then immediately charge with them. So for guard, you can inspire a fighter and then charge. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And then just charge with another one in your activation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Very cool. But at the same time, like, you're not always going to have 3 glory points and sometimes you're going to want upgrades more. So I like cards that make you think.
I agree. And this certainly does make you think. At any cost. So let's jump to Bitter Memories. This one's kind of a funny one.
Speaking of making you think.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to read it, but I'd like to get your thought on it. Reaction. Roll 2 attack dice. If you roll 1 or more smash, choose a friendly fighter with 1 or more raise counters. The chosen fighter makes 1 attack action. So I feel like there's some words missing here. what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's either words missing or there's that reaction shouldn't be there. I'm not really sure. So I think currently this card isn't functional. I don't know what you react to play it. So I think we need an errata. I think I don't know. I mean, I guess we just wait. I think we could either assume that the reaction isn't supposed to be there, or we could assume that, like some of the other cards that mention the raise counters, maybe it's reacting to a fighter being raised, but we really don't know.
So what if we look at it with just remove the reaction and just let's look at what the card actually does, whether you can play it or not. You get to roll two dice. If you get a smash, a friendly fighter with a raise counter can make an attack action. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to look at it because, you know, whatever. Basically, it's a 75% chance, I think, on two smash to make an attack action. You need to have a raise counter, so you have to have a skeleton that came back from the dead. I think it's probably a little bit too specific, kind of hard to use.
It's interesting because I kind of like it, and it doesn't say that, you know, the fighter can't attack if it has a charge or a move token or anything like that, so...
Right.
I don't know. You could do some crazy stuff where you res a fighter at any cost, bitter memories. They could be pretty gnarly. I don't know. Maybe.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You could have a harvester come back and then at any cost and then bitter memories and do some damage. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, or the champion. So I don't know. I mean, like a lot of these cards seem really good in synergy with one another, but at the same time, it's like... Individually, I think they're okay for now.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to get the next one?
Yeah, so the next one is Cold Fury, also a gambit. Reaction, play this after you place a raise counter on a friendly fighter's fighter card, +1 damage, and you can re-roll 1 attack dice in the attack roll for that fighter's next range 1 or range 2 attack action. This effect persists until that fighter is taken out of action or until after they make an attack action. So it's effectively a way to buff a fighter's first attack when they come back from the dead. What do you think about that one?
So my understanding is that fighter comes back, and then you play this card after they come back as a reaction. And then you are effectively... So there's only two ways to bring a fighter back, if I'm correct, in the Sepulchral Guard. There's either using the Warden's activation or using Restless Dead, I think is the name of the card, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you use it with Restless Dead, I think it becomes a lot better because you can Restless Dead, play this, and you get like a pseudo-inspired attack. But if you don't, and you just activate with the Warden and bring somebody back, then you're putting a big target on your fighter because your opponent will either run away from them because the skeletons are slow. I mean, even when they're inspired, they're still only 3 move. Or they can just kill your fighter, and it's a waste of a card.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And the other thing it's interesting when we look at these cards that react to the raise counter is you're going to have to pick one of them. And then I think a comparison to Inspired Attack is pretty apt because that's actually a little bit better. If a skeleton comes back, they're going to be inspired. So you would actually want to take Inspired Attack first before you took this.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So I guess if you want 2 Inspired Attacks, then maybe you take Cold Fury.
Which is a little terrifying.
It kind of is, yeah.
Inspired Attack is a great card.
Yeah, the Prince of Dust is pretty accurate. The Champion gets pretty crazy. I mean, their fighters are good when they're inspired. The problem is it's hard to inspire them because it takes too much action economy.
Yeah, and I think if you ask anyone that plays a lot of the Skeleton Warband, they're going to tell you that they really only resurrect 2 or 3 or maybe 4 fighters during the course of a game. I think if they resurrect more than that, they're spending too many activations doing it, and it's usually a bad sign. So I don't know how many of these cards you really want to take because you have to have them when you're resurrecting the fighter. If you draw them too early or too late, then they're just going to sit there in your hand. So it's an interesting mechanic for them, though.
I think so. I think 4 is a lot. And even more than that, certainly so.
I would say 2 is ideal if you can get away with 2 resurrections.
Yeah, I think 2 is good, 2 or 3. Let's go to Distracting Wealth.
All right.
So this is a new card. Reaction, play this during a friendly fighter's attack action. After the determined success step, spend 2 glory points if you do added damage to the attack. This reminds me of a very old card. I guess I say very old, but it really wasn't that long ago. it reminds me of Twist the Knife, but yeah. It's probably more balanced because you have to spend two glory to do it. What do you think of this one?
Basically it is Twist the Knife, which if you play the online version of the game, the video game, Twist the Knife is in the meta there. And the cool thing that I like about this card is that you're not going to just get womboed in the first turn by, you know, someone charging in and then twisting the knife. they have to build up a little bit of glory. So very similar to At All Cost, this is an extremely powerful card that is not probably very good in the first round. And it's going to make you make choices between, you know, early upgrades and that extra point of damage you need to get a kill. So I think it's very cool. And I think we'll see it now and then. But I don't, it's not obviously powerful in the way that Twist the Knife would be.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to summarize it.
Yeah, I just love the design space. Like the glory for ploys is very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the game is becoming more capitalist.
Yeah, it's cool that, you know, as the game evolves, they're able to add these new mechanics that like we hadn't expected, and just kind of adds a new layer to stuff. So I think it's cool. We'll go to the next one, Divine Reward. Unless you had anything else to say about that one.
No, please continue.
Divine Reward is reaction. Play this after a friendly fighter's attack action that took one or more enemy fighters out of action. Pick one upgrade from your hand and give that friendly fighter that upgrade. That upgrade does not cost any glory points. What do you think?
So on its own, I think... So it's economic, right? Kill somebody, you net the glory. You don't have to spend it because you get the upgrade.
Yeah.
And I think... this card on its own is not good enough. However, if you're taking some of these cards that require you to spend glory, this is a great way to save glory so that you can spend that glory later for a card like Distracting Wealth, for example, or At Any Cost.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
So I actually just thought of it because when I even wrote my article, I didn't even put that in there. But just seeing the cards right next to each other, it just kind of clicked where... It's a great investment, I think. You take a card to get an upgrade so you can spend that, you know, glory for later.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure if I think it's still worth a ploy slot, but I guess if you're taking a lot of these cards where every glory point, you know, kind of matters, then maybe that could be useful. That's interesting. I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah, same. I was trying to deck build earlier today, but I got distracted. But that was certainly a card I was... I remember glancing over, and I was like, I feel like there's more to this. But we'll see. Let's jump to Enhanced Blow.
Yeah.
Spend up to 2 points of glory. If you do, plus one dice to the first attack action and the next activation for each glory point spent. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, this is one I don't think is worth it. I just don't think one or two dice is worth a glory point. It may be in the third round if you just have more glory than you need, but I don't think I would play this one. I do think it's a cool card thematically. I like how it says riches can be put to more than one use, and it's a picture of a bone with what I guess is just a bunch of glory and amber bone stuff, or gold and amber bone stuff in it. So it's pretty cool, but I don't think I'm going to try it out.
Yeah, it kind of looks like an amber bone makeshift club.
Yeah, yeah.
Just thinking about all the utilization that this card could potentially use, I think it could help you in a pinch. Like, if you are wanting to play aggro and you are getting glory, but you're just not able to keep up with your opponent, then maybe this is a card you could explore because you need accuracy, right? Like, aggro lives and dies by the dice. So if you can just cram a bunch of accuracy cards, and maybe this is one of them, then I think maybe spending a glory or two to making sure one of your attacks really goes through, it might be worth it. Like, you could Haymaker and Enhanced Blow, add 4 dice to your attack. You're not missing, unless you have, like, the most terrible luck.
Yeah, and speaking of Haymaker, right now, I think you would take Haymaker first, and then maybe you would take this one. But, you know, we're coming up on the next season where there's going to be a rotation and we won't have Haymaker. So maybe this card does you know, enter the realm of something that you would consider at that point.
Yeah, I think it's a very like edge case. I think if you yeah. really need it and you're looking for it, this could be an answer.
And honestly, it's not like we're not going to spend, you know, one glory to put on Strength of Terror and then make a charge action. And that fighter might just die after that. So there might be something to it.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll go to the next one. It is Fancy Footwork. Reaction, play this after a friendly fighter's attack action with combo succeeds. Draw 3 power cards. Wow.
Yeah, it's gnarly. I really like the artwork, too. It's like the two elven archers kind of shooting each other, even though they're right next to each other. this is a really cool card, but I haven't really had much experience with combo because I never thought it was worth it. Have you?
No. I mean, I think that the reality of the combo mechanic is that it mostly works for the... Blade Coven Warband, because they have a fighter that has a built-in combo. So if I wanted to try to make combo work, I would try it with them, and I think I would take 2 combo finishers and 1 combo starter, so that if Camus did die, then someone else would still be able to utilize them. But Camus is pretty terrifying, so I could see it working. And 3 power cards is really good. I just think that first you have to get the upgrade on, then you have to land the attack. So it's neat. It's probably good in Arena Mortis, which is, the set that it's for, but I don't know how good it is in Championship.
Yeah, I would probably agree. I think maybe if you're making like a combo to the end deck, then this is like your go-to.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
absolutely. I don't know if you're making a combo to the end deck.
Yeah, and it's just competing with other card draw cards, in a way that I think probably other cards will win out.
I know Dean was trying to run a combo Gitz deck at Adepticon, which unfortunately was canceled. So maybe he can make something work of it.
Yeah, and interestingly, for the combo mechanic, while it is powerful, I think it does directly compete with how efficient the Amberbone weapons are. And so I tend to lean towards them more in general as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. But. Next card is Fractured Memories. -1 defense to a minimum of 1 from enemy fighters' defense rolls in the first attack action in the next activation. What do you think about that one?
I love the card art on it. Hrothgorn looks very puzzled there.
Yeah, he's just scratching his his head cap.
The art on this whole set is actually pretty fabulous.
I really like it. I've seen some people think that it doesn't look finished, but I think that's just the style.
It's almost like a little bit more impressionistic or something.
Yeah, I think so. Cool. I really like how the card art varies from time to time. Like you can definitely tell what set certain cards come from, just from the card art alone. But my favorite card art on a tangent is the Blade Coven fighter cards. Those girls look good. Yes, queen.
It's the Hag Queen. As for the card itself, usually I don't think -1 defense is worth a gambit, because it's usually better just to take more accuracy, more dice. I don't think it's a bad card, but I think that there are better cards. Maybe there's exceptions to that. I'd have to really look at the math. Maybe going from 2 dodge to 1 dodge is better than, say, 1 or 2 more attack dice. But I think I'm right about that.
I think you're absolutely correct. I don't think it's worth putting in a card just to -1 defense when you can maybe +1 attack.
Yeah.
It does technically increase your chances of hitting. So I guess it is, in theory, a +1. Right? I mean, because it's... unless it's like they only have 1 defense, then the card is significantly... weaker than an accuracy card, but
right, and that's another problem with it is in that situation. So you'd have to be against something with more than 1, and then you'd have to reduce it. So plus dice is always going to be more generally useful, even if there are situations where this might be better.
Agreed. But if you know you're in a warband a meta that has a lot of like double dodge or double block fighters, I mean, this is again, if you really need accuracy. If you're going for the bottom of the barrel, I think this is one of the ones that you can maybe grab onto.
Yeah, I could see it being a secondary one or in one, a meta where you know there's going to be a lot of it. But looking at the, I pulled up my phone, looking at the math, like 3 Fury against 2 Dodge is 48%. If you bring it down to 1 Dodge, it's 58. But if you add one more attack dice, it's 59. So one attack dice is actually a little bit better. So this is probably only good against double block, which there's very little of.
So it's 1% better. Yeah. But I guess that 1% adds up because I guess it just is math.
Well, and plus one attack dice is kind of the minimum accuracy buff anyway.
Right.
So this is slightly worse than determined effort against double dodge. I think it's probably better against 2 shield because you go from 43 and then 1 shield goes to 55. 43. So it's 1% better than plus one dice against double dodge. So it's very, very similar to plus one dice, which determined effort doesn't see a lot of play anyway, and determined effort will work against one defense dice fighters. So.
Yep. So
I think we've got to the bottom of that one.
I think we have. Let's move on to the next one.
The next one is Grand Offering. Reaction. Play this after a friendly fighter's attack action that took one or more enemy fighters out of action. Spend one glory point. If you do, gain one spent glory point. Very interesting. What do you think about that one?
So if I'm reading this correctly, you eliminate an enemy fighter, you collect your glory, you react, you spend that glory or one of the glories you already have, and then you get a mm-hmm. second spent one. So it's two for the price of one. I think it's a win more card, honestly. It might be... I just don't know if it's worth a ploy spot because, you know, if you were trying to kill stuff, then you want accuracy and speed and stuff. And if you want, like, to grab objectives and stuff, you want to jump onto objectives and get pushes and stuff. So I think maybe this is a good control card because it can maybe help you gain glory passively. But I don't even know if it makes it there. What do you think?
Yeah. Basically, I don't think that one ploy slot is worth one glory. I think that's how I do the math on these. I think one ploy slot is worth slightly more than one glory. So I don't like any of these cards that give you glory for kills. And this is a spent one. So I don't think that's worth it. I would say that Daylight Robbery is better. And I don't even really like that one.
Yeah, I hate that card. But it's also because...
it's a 50-50 to be a 2-glory swing. So it averages out to 1, but when it works, it's just devastating.
Yeah, especially on your first glory.
Yeah. Yeah, which happens like 25% of the time. Or I guess half of that.
25% of the time, all the time.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to jump to the next one.
Yep.
Invigorating Return. Play this after you place a raise counter on a friendly fighter's card. Push that fighter up to 2 hexes. But we've got Shiok on the card art.
Well, I'm sure you could play Shiok in Arena Mortis.
Yeah. It looks like a Grimwatch person is getting up maybe out of in the background. I don't know.
Yeah, I might be creeping up on him. I think this is cool. I think this is the first one that I may actually consider because skeletons are slow. So, and sometimes you need to set up for an objective and... You could play Restless Dead in the last activation, push 2, and that's pretty powerful. So I like it.
Yeah.
But there might be better ones.
There might be. This definitely helps scoring like Supremacy, maybe Coveted Spoils and all that. But it's also a great setup going into your turn for like Temporary Victory or Hidden Purpose. So I think you're absolutely correct. This is one of the first cards that I would seriously consider for the Sepulchral Guard in Championship format and Alliance and all that. So
yeah. So the next one is also a Gambit, Last Gasp. Reaction, play this when there are enough wound tokens on a friendly fighter card for them to be taken out of action, but before they are taken out of action, choose one enemy fighter within 3 hexes of that friendly fighter. Deal 1 damage to the chosen fighter. So basically, when you lose a fighter, you can react to ping any fighter within 3 hexes. How do you like that one?
So I think if you're really into like ping damage or maybe you're running Unexpected Pitfall, then you could maybe consider this. I don't know if you use this now. Maybe when Night Vault rotates. But
yeah.
Like, there's just so much ping damage and none of it is restricted.
Right.
That you don't need to react to something and in such a limited capacity when you can just play Lethal Ward or Collapse or something like that.
Yeah, when I think about ping damage, I think about Wurmspat, Farstriders, and Wild Hunt. And the first two, Wurmspat and Farstriders, they don't lose fighters that often, so I don't think this is that great. Would you take this in Wild Hunt?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think maybe if you could get cheeky with like Legain. Maybe you could do this, right? And this is me stretching it a little bit. You run Legain through a lethal, so you score calculated risk.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe you like do some damage with another ping, and then obviously they kill Legain, and then you can maybe like Legain can spite them by gasping really hard.
Well, and you know, the other thing that's interesting is that this does not have to be during an attack action, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just whenever there's enough wounds on a friendly fighter for them to be taken out of action, so you can react with this in the power step as well.
So there may be some annoying Skaven nonsense that you can do where you jump into a lethal hex and ping a damage, or you put Crown of Avarice, or you put Expendable and this on. So maybe you could be annoying that way.
Yo, Dave Sanders, if you're listening, just don't let that happen, please.
I'm sure he loves the Suicide Skaven strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know some people who really love it, and I know some people who actually really love it, and it I don't know. They're both great kinds of people. It's just, you know, very divisive on that one kind of play style. But we're not here to talk about Skaven.
Let's go to the next one.
So we're going to go to the next one. Making ends meet. Pick one of your spent glory points and turn it over to its unspent side. So earlier you said that you don't think a gambit is worth one glory. But what this right. gambit does is it makes one glory into two glory.
If you cross your eyes real hard, there's two of them. That's what Quiv says, which is hilarious. But so the reason I don't like this one, I actually like this one even less, sort of, is that it's not giving you any more glory. It's just letting you put two upgrades on for one glory. And so if you look at it like something like Spoils of Battle, which would just get, you know, you trade one ploy for one free upgrade. The advantage of Spoils of Battle is that in your first turn, you can get a free upgrade. After that, the usefulness of that card kind of starts to lag. So this doesn't even work with that because you have to get that first glory, and then basically you get to use it twice. So maybe like you take it with Godsworn Hunt if you really need that first glory to inspire two fighters, but that's really the only use case I can think of for it.
So I think this is kind of actually a sleeper if you're looking to play Avatar or Tomes or Lost Pages.
Maybe.
Because if you are short on glory, then maybe you can get two tomes off or two pages off for the price of one.
Yeah, I could see that. I just don't think that that happens that often. And I would just be hard pressed to fit it, but
I think you'd be right. I think so. I mean, I just think it's an interesting way to maybe like a passive control style deck to like make the most out of its limited glory it's making.
Yeah, and if you get it in the first round and you have, you know, you're able to get that first glory, two upgrades is a lot better than one. So makes sense.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny in Relic, I guess, because if you have Escalation, this can really help you score that. I mentioned this on my blog, and I think it's kind of funny. I can imagine you like getting a glory, spending it, and your opponent who has Daylight Robbery is like, oh man, and then you play this card and then they get to play Daylight Robbery and then they steal your glory. I think that'd be really funny.
Oh, Daylight Robbery.
Yeah. Oh, Daylight Robbery.
Let's go to the next one. It is also a Gambit, Outrageous Fortune. Reaction, play this after a friendly fighter is dealt damage in the deal damage step. So that does have to be an attack action, I think. Pick one of that fighter's upgrades and discard it. If you do, reduce that damage by one to a minimum of one. So what do you think of that?
So effectively, you spend a glory, you put an upgrade on, your fighter is about to die, you remove your upgrade to reduce that damage to a minimum of one.
Yep.
I think Potion of Constitution is a straight up better card. However, I think what's really useful for this is, again, if you go back to like a tome or a lost page build, because all of your glory is stuck on one fighter. And so maybe you're at the end of the game and like you have five tomes on and your fighter is about to die. And then maybe you throw a tome off to save your fighter so you can still score four tomes instead of five, because four is better than zero. I feel like that's kind of edge case.
Okay, because I actually think that this card is very, very good. I think this card is basically like the Snarlfang card that reduces damage by one. Because it's a reaction, your opponent doesn't know that they have it, and they'll usually do the math wrong when they're trying to kill your fighter, and they'll end up leaving you at one health. And that's definitely going to be worth losing almost any upgrade that you have on, unless it's a health upgrade, in which case you probably die anyway. But
yes.
I think this kind of reaction... damage reduction is going to be way more powerful than something like Potion of Constitution, because you can't plan for it.
So I think that's fair, and I do think it is very good in elite warbands like Ripa's or Worm Spat.
Absolutely, yeah.
I just think that a lot of those warbands rely on those warbands to do really well, and maybe it's worth burning an upgrade to have your fighter live for at least one more activation. And so I certainly think that you have a very good point. I guess for me, like if I'm playing Grippas, I'll probably just take Narrow Escape. I don't know if I take both, but maybe you're right. Maybe in Elite Warbands, and it's really funny. I mentioned that actually. I'm going back and reading my review article, and it says it might very well
There's
be
some
worth
good
it.
Stuff in there.
Yeah, honestly, I should just read this because it literally says right here it might very well be worth it, especially in Elite Warbands. So. I think you're right. I think it's probably
better. The other thing I like about it is that we have what is it? Narrow Escape, where you can, if you take one damage, you can ignore it. And this is sort of like that. Lucky Escape. Yeah, Narrow Escape is a Ripa's one. And this is strictly worse than the Ripa version, but I kind of think that's cool that the Warband gets the better version. So, I'm a fan of it in general, and I think we'll see some of it. So,
yeah, it's a good point, and Ripa's are on the card, so. That's
yeah,
quite on the nose.
And he even has a book that he's blocking the shot with.
Yeah, that's actually a card later for Shattering Howl, which we'll get into, but I think it's kind of funny that he's using one of the, I guess, items in the Arena Mortis. And it's like blocking an arrow, so he got lucky, I guess. So it's quite outrageous how good his fortune was.
Yeah.
Did I just read this one, or was it you? I think it was you.
I think I read that one, yeah. So why don't you go ahead and get the next one?
Revel in Death. Reaction. Play this after you place a raise counter on a friendly fighter card. Roll two magic dice. If you roll one or more channels, gain one glory point. So I sense you're the statistics major. At least in Underworlds, not in real life. Do you want to give us the lowdown on this one?
So I think it's just a 50-50 twice, so that should be 75, like a Howling Vortex. So, it's better than a lot of the other glory cards.
Is it better than Daylight Robbery?
probably not, I guess. This would average 70.75 glory, I guess, and Daylight Robbery is still... averages one, and you have to raise somebody, and it takes that reaction window. So no, I don't think you take it.
Oh yeah, because it's just for raise counter. So yeah, this is only going to be used in Sepulchral Guard, and you're right. I don't think they take that card.
Yeah, it's a little bit too niche. It's probably good in Arena Mortis because I'm sure you want the glory and stuff. So
that is.
I don't think you're going to be too hard on a lot of these cards because their intention is probably to be Arena Mortis, and then like a bonus if you want to use them in the normal game.
Agreed. I mean, and so I'm just looking at them, how they would function in championship for sure. But that is a great point to make, is that these are designed in a fashion which they're slightly limited because they're supposed to work for two different types of the game. But it's interesting for sure. Let's jump to the next one.
Yeah, it is Shattering Howl, a Gambit reaction. Play this when there are enough wound tokens on a friendly fighter's fighter card for them to be taken out of action, but before they are taken out of action. Choose one enemy fighter within three hexes of that friendly fighter and pick one of the chosen fighter's upgrades. Discard that upgrade. What do you think about that?
So I'm happy to see more of this, you know, interaction with your opponent's upgrades. Mm-hmm. I think to balance it out, you do have to make the cards a little bit below average so that they're not too powerful. And I think this one does a good job of kind of being in that realm. So you lose a fighter, mm-hmm. you can remove one of their upgrades within three hexes. I just don't know if it's good enough to make the cut. And I think it's really too dependent on fighter positioning.
Yeah, there are some situations where losing an upgrade can really be kind of a nightmare. The Avatar builds are probably the most obvious example of that. But, you know, if you lose Strength of Terror, that's bad. you lose Great Fortitude, Sudden Growth. That's bad. So I could see putting this in a deck that's trying to be annoying in like a control sort of way. Or that's likely to lose fighters and thinks that this will, you know, help make the difference. But I think you're right that we probably won't see a lot of it.
Yeah, the only way I'm really seeing this is if there's like an upgrade out there that just becomes really crazy. And I think Strength of Terror may be one of those cards. But like, you know, sudden getting this off on a Sudden Growth or a Massive Bulk or even a Quickening Greaves is huge. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to have a specific plan for this card. But
yeah, and you may even be able to sort of plan, you know, like charge a fighter in, know you have this card in your hand, they kill the fighter, and then, oh, there goes the Cryptic Companion. That kind of thing could be totally worth it. You know, if I'm playing Hrothgorn, which I've been doing recently, and you take my Hunter's Reflexes away, you know, suddenly I don't have an extra dice and a reroll on all of my attacks. That's a massive difference.
You mean Hunter's Talisman.
Or Hunter's Talisman.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you're playing with Reflexes, bro... You
yeah, right.
That'd be crazy.
That one's banned.
Yeah. Not for Jonathan.
You want to go to the next one?
Yeah. Soul Surge. Reaction. Play this after a friendly fighter's attack action that took one or more enemy fighters out of action. Choose one friendly fighter. Roll one magic dice. On a channel, that friendly fighter makes one attack action.
Yeah.
So essentially, you take someone out of action, and on a 50-50, you can attack again.
Yep.
Iron Skull Boys have a card that does this. It's called Having a Good Time. And I don't think that saw much play after the entire Shadespire set came out. I think when it first came out, people were really into it. I've been seeing a lot of 50-50 cards in the game right now. And I'm surprised because they go often... what it feels like more than 50-50, to be honest.
Yeah.
At least when it's a detriment to me.
right.
But I imagine Aggro Warbands might enjoy this one, again, if they're really looking to maximize the I guess, number of attacks. I mean, like, you know, if you're playing Ribba's, right. Charge, Snarlfang, Soul Surge. I don't think you can react to the Soul Surge attack, but...
I think this one actually doesn't... You'd have to kill somebody with the wolf attack. So where I think that this card really shines is in a warband with a range 2 powerhouse fighter. I think that Molog might play a gambit to have a 50-52 attack again after he gets a kill. I think the Queen, I think maybe Morgwaith, maybe Skritch. I think there's a Morgwaith deck out there that may not be top tier, but probably has this card, Jealous Defense, Vision of Glory, which we'll get to later. And I want to see how many attacks I can get off with Morgwaith in one turn.
At any cost.
At any cost, yeah. Like, I think that this card could see play. I mean, think about the Queen. Like, you teleport her into the back, she attacks something, she kills something, and then she kills something else. That will happen. I think you do have to be aware that most attacks are a 50-50, and then this card is a 50-50, and then that attack is also going to be a 50-50. So it might be like a 12% chance that you get a double kill.
Well, on average, yes. But I mean, I think if you're
going to... But you don't have to use it unless that first 50-50 goes off.
Correct. But what I'm saying is I think you're only going to use this card if you're like Voltroning a fighter.
I agree completely, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess Moloch, Hrothgorn, Morgwaith, the Queen, all great, great choices. But if that's the case, then you probably have tools to make sure you're hit. This is Strength of Terror, Hunter's Talisman, other cards. Maybe even like Amberbone Mace if you missed the first time. Actually, no, you have to kill somebody. So
yeah, you'd have to kill somebody.
Well, so I guess what you could do. So actually, this would be really funny. You could kill someone, equip the Amberbone. Oh no, because you have to react to that. So no.
Well, you could put two weapons on him and then hit with one, hit with the other.
That's right. You can do that. But I think in a even Lund, right? Like or Thundrick. Like I don't mind them on a 50-50, maybe like, you know, blow up another chain rasp. Like I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I think that we did get a lot more tools for aggro where maybe like, you know, if you have Jealous Defense and this and a few other tools, like that suddenly you do have a lot more, you are getting a lot more out of one fighter. If you can get it to work. So
but that's a big if.
I think it's something to play with, but I'm not sure we'll see too much of it.
Yeah. I think you made some good points, but I think ultimately this will be one of those, you know, strategies where you try and it's just not consistent enough and you're just going to be like, eh, I'll just do something else with it, you know? So.
Yeah, makes sense. The next one is Strength from Death. It is a reaction. Play this after you place a raise counter on a friendly fighter's fighter card, so it's only for skeletons. That fighter's range 1 or range 2 attack actions have cleave and ensnare. This effect persists until that fighter is taken out of action or until they make an attack action. What do you think about that?
Well, so you bring a fighter back, and then you get cleave and ensnare until you make an attack action. If it was like an upgrade, I would be like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But because it's a ploy, and I think the Sepulchral Guard are probably going to want cards more like Invigorating Return, like are fighting for those like maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 spots, like or 10th spots, like those last four cards you want to add after you get all your pushes and your things like that. I don't know. I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, I wish that it didn't say it lasts until they make the attack action, because then you could Harvester and get like all of the attacks with cleave and ensnare, and I'd think about it then, but I don't think it's really worth it. But maybe if you're playing very aggro skeletons, but I don't know. I think we should move on.
Okay. Well, the old one too. The boss said after that, said that after the one, you give them the lots. Okay. I love your grammar, Thug. Trip me.
Thanks
up.
For that, Thug.
Yeah. what is that? Well, Daily Mantra by Thug. plus one dice to the first range 1 or range 2 attack action with combo in the next activation. Plus one dice to the first attack action made as a reaction to an attack with combo. The effect persists until the next power step. What are your thoughts?
I think if you're playing combo, this could possibly be worth it. It's also pretty good on Camus. If you can give Camus one upgrade, one damage upgrade, she'd be hitting for 3 and then 2, and then she'd be hitting on 4 swords and then 2 smash, which is kind of terrifying. So I think that's the only time I would use it is with Blade Coven.
Yes. Or maybe combo becomes huge in the future and we all missed it.
Yeah, I just don't think it will, because it's still too much work to put on an upgrade and then put on another upgrade. I think it will always be too much work, but
yeah,
could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Only a couple times.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's go to the final gambit of the set. Halfway there, almost.
Yeah. Is it my turn? Winded. I love the art on these. Mean Eye says, it don't hurt much.
Well, he's getting rocked in the chest by, yeah, by Murgoth or somebody. Just literally knocked the breath out of him. Literally, he's winded. That's, I guess, yeah, that's why it's called winded.
Yeah. Choose one friendly fighter that has one or more upgrades with combo and one enemy fighter adjacent to that fighter. Spend one glory. If you do, give the chosen enemy fighter one charge token. I don't think this is usually going to be worth it. Maybe you could take it on Blade Coven and then charge one person with Camus, but also be adjacent to another person that you want to lock up with a charge token. I don't know. It's kind of a weird one.
I don't know. It hurts me much. It hurts me too much to put it in any deck.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have very many cards that will give somebody a charge token. I don't think combo is functional, as we've been talking about, really. other than Camus. But if Camus walks up to Hrothgorn and gives me a charge token, or walks up to Malag and gives him a charge token on the first round, that's super annoying. I guess you have to have a glory, though.
But she also has to have an upgrade with combo. So you can't just do with Camus.
Yeah.
You have to invest glory for the combo upgrade, then have that fighter survive, and then invest a second glory. So for two glory and a combo card, you give someone a charge token, which I think is too many like hoops to jump through.
Yeah, let's go to the upgrades.
Alrighty, so just as a reminder, there's 40 cards in the set, a total of 20 gambits and 20 upgrades included in Arena Mortis. So let's jump to Ambusher. This is the first upgrade and the 21st card in the set. Reaction: after you place a raise counter on this fighter's fighter card, remove this fighter from the battlefield and place them in any empty hex, then discard this upgrade. Reaction: before a friendly fighter would be taken out of action, if this card is in your hand, give this upgrade to that fighter. This does not cost a glory point. So a lot of text, but I think some really great words on there in the right order. What do you think?
Yeah, I like this one quite a bit. I think this is probably perhaps an auto include for the Warp Band of Skeletons. It's free, which is really nice. And then it's such a powerful effect that it's worth bringing back a fighter, even if you may have not wanted to normally, which I think separates a lot of these cards. Like, there'd be times when you want a fighter to die so that you could bring them back, react with this. You could score shortcut, and then you could, you know, do something like score temporary victory. So I think it's really, really good.
Yes, it's a very, very good card. Great for last-minute objective grab, setting up your fighter for combat, or to run away. So,
yeah.
I really like it. This is a 4 out of 4 for me.
And the specific use case of the one warband they can use it, it's awesome.
Yeah. This just should have a Sepulchral Guard symbol on it. I guess it does, really.
I bet it's fun in Arena Mortis, too.
Oh, yeah.
The next one is Audacious Feint. It is a weapon upgrade. It is 1 range, 4 smash, 1 damage with combo. This attack action's damage characteristic cannot be modified. After this attack action, give this fighter 1 guard token. What do you think about that?
So this is probably the most accurate combo card I've ever seen.
Yeah.
4 smash is gnarly. 1 damage is understandable. I guess it's a trade-off. But it's your builder attack, right? So
yeah.
I guess if you hit with this first, you land that combo trigger, and then you can go in with another one. And the guard token is cool. Again, like, I think some of these cards are really cool if combo was relevant. And who knows? These cards might make it relevant, but at this moment in time, I just don't know if
I do think we have enough now to actually make a combo deck. I just don't know how good it is. But this might be the one that I take if I'm bringing a combo starter for Blade Coven or something.
Well, so I'd like to jump into a slight conversation around combo then, because if you want to look at combo, like, what, and this is not a rhetorical, like, what type of warband do you think wants to use combo? Like aggro, control, objective, like what's your answer?
I guess I think it would have to be aggro.
Okay. So I think the challenge with aggro is you have to get the glory to spend the upgrade. But it's hard to get the glory if you're not hitting stuff. And while combo does help you, in theory, get more attacks in, so you have a higher likelihood of hitting things, if you're not getting the glory in the beginning, then you can't build into combo.
Yeah, and as cool as combo is, it has the problem, kind of like I was talking about earlier with the other 50-50 card. Usually you have to hit with the first one in order to be able to swing with the second one. I think Camus is an exception to that, so it's one of the reasons why she's so much better, because her reaction isn't really a normal combo thing. But so a lot of the time that'll be a 50%. 4 smash will be more than that, but if it does hit, then it's only 1 damage, which is not that good. So then you need the finisher to be really, really good. And in a lot of situations, you would be better off just giving someone an Amberbone weapon or a Nullstone sword or using their normal attack and or giving them a damage upgrade or giving them an accuracy upgrade. And so it just ends up being a lot of work for what might be a powerful effect. I mean, theoretically, some of these combo cards, you know, for two cards, they probably do more damage than anything else. But, you know, you have to have them both at the same time. You have to have the glory for them, and then they both have to hit. So it's just a lot of moving pieces that, you know, a theme with this game is usually you want things to be generally useful.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a fighter that would really like combo aside from fighters who have it built in.
Yeah.
And I'm just not really thinking of one.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not sure if it's really in the cards.
Well, on that note, deserved confidence.
Yeah.
This fighter has the following cumulative benefits, depending on how many upgrades they have. If you have three upgrades, you get one wound, and this fighter cannot be driven back. One wound means like plus one wound. So it's effectively Great Fortitude and Gartok's innate ability. Five upgrades, you get plus one move and the other three, or the other, you know, the one that you get earlier. And if you have nine upgrades, in addition to one move, one wound, and not being able to be driven back, you have innate fury and smash.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's very silly.
How often do you think you're going to see nine upgrades on a single fighter?
Never.
Well, there you have it, folks. Hot take from Jonathan.
Honestly, I think the only reason you take this is if you think you're going to be able to get the one wound and the drive back effect. I have seen five upgrades on one fighter before. I don't think I've ever seen nine. Usually you only have 10 in your deck. So, like, even Malak, I don't think you usually have nine. And you're not going to want this card so that at the very, very end of the game, you can have a one innate smash. You just take something else. So,
I think Malak is the number one candidate.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he wants this.
But you would need card draw and nine glory, you know, to put the upgrades on. It's just not going to happen in a realistic time frame. So.
Well, I think it's interesting because, and I'm giving Mike ideas here, but we do it for the content. So Malak doesn't have the restricted slots for sudden growth. Malak has a hard time taking any wound upgrades aside from Great Fortitude,
right,
and maybe Potion of Khan because Tome of Vitality was hit as well.
Right.
But Molog's always going to have three or more upgrades on him, like, you know, at one point in the game. So this might be a really cool way to, you know, get another wound on Malak.
Yeah, and I mean, not being able to drive Malak back is annoying. So I think that is the use case for it. I think someone like Mike would be the person to tell us whether or not he thinks this, you know, having this in the first round as one of your first or second upgrades that doesn't do anything. I wonder how if the effect for having three makes up for the times that will happen. It might.
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting one wound on Malak sometimes can decide a game. So
yeah, I'm not really sure what a current Malak deck looks like. I'd have to see, you know, what he brought recently the last time. I wonder if he even has any extra health.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, so what Malak starts with seven, if you look at his deck and you look at his upgrades, he has Great Fortitude and Potion of Constitution.
Okay.
And yeah, maybe this is something. And Strength of, or Substance Siphon. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Then maybe this is a new Malak card.
Yeah. As if he needed it.
He's our favorite.
Oh, yeah.
The next card is Desperate Swing. It is a weapon. Range 1, 2 fury, 2 damage with combo. If any opponent has more glory points than you, this attack action has plus 2 dice. I kind of like this one. I think I would take a 4 fury, 2 damage weapon. You know, I think a lot of the time the opponent will have more glory than you. So I think it's kind of neat. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is one of those few cards that can help you make combo, you know, somewhat relevant. I think if you're running an aggro warband, or maybe a warband that has some minions in it that you want to give a a decent attack to, then this might be the one. I think if you're playing objective warbands, though, like your little minions, like your chain wrasse and stuff, they aren't really going to do much because you're probably going to be ahead on glory. And I think if you're aggro playing into any one of those warbands and you're ahead, then you're probably going to win. I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of it. Like, I don't know if it works in execution.
Yeah, and it's not better than Ember Bones. So that's always going to be a problem. Every time we look at any weapon upgrade, is it better than an Ember Bone weapon? And a lot of the time, the answer is going to be no.
Yeah.
Go to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Draining Leech. Mm. 3 range, 3 fury, 1 damage. This attack action's damage characteristic cannot be modified. After this fighter makes this attack action, discard this upgrade. After the deal damage step, which is the reaction part, after the deal damage step, pick one of the target's upgrades, discard that upgrade. So you throw a giant leech at your opponent, and then they eat one of their upgrades, and they deal and they get dealt the damage.
I just love the art on these things.
Yeah.
So funny. There's a giant leech about to eat Minai. I think this is neat. I mean, I think that there will be situations when it is worth it. You know, this is probably about a 50-50 to remove an upgrade. I guess it's, you know, it takes an activation and it might do 1 damage, but I don't know. I think it's cool to have. I'm glad this is in the game as a like a piece of tech, if that makes sense.
Yes. I think it's a good tech card, and if you think that your deck needs this kind of tech, this is probably one of the ones that you start with.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go to the next one, Flashy Follow-Up. It is also a weapon upgrade. Range 1, 2 smash, 2 damage. It is a combo finisher. It has a reaction. After this fighter's successful attack action with combo, make this attack action. It must target the same fighter. When made in this way, this attack action has +1 dice and +1 damage. So if you use it as a combo follow-up, it's 3 smash, 3 damage, which is pretty solid when you assume that the combo starter probably did 1 or 2 damage itself.
So I think the card is great for combo. Again, this could be one of those cards that help you build that combo deck. The +1 dice and +1 damage is really neat. Again, I just don't know. Like, are we... maybe this goes on Camus, right? But she has
to
hit
that combo attack. This is probably one of the ones I would take in a combo deck if I was making one. I think if we sort of put the Amberbone situation aside, I do think there would be a situation where Gitz could take a bunch of combo weapons that were solid on their own, because 2 smash, 2 damage is not a bad attack for one of the archers to make, for example. You know, it's much better than what they have normally. And then if you're able to get a combo situation lined up, then that's pretty powerful. The issue with the combo effect, really, is that it's just overshadowed by other things in the game.
Yes, that's fair.
But like this one and the one before it are both pretty solid attack actions on their own.
I think I struggle with this card because it's a reaction.
Yeah, you can never rely on the combo aspect of it, which is sort of the problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there would be situations where if the other person has more glory than you and I charge with 4 fury, I'm probably going to hit. And then I'll swing with this one, and that one's probably going to hit too, and I just hit you for 5 damage. But it's just so many different things that you can't rely on that happening all the time. So probably at least half of the time, if not, you know, 2/3 of the time, you're going to be just using these weapons on their own. And they're not bad, but there are better options if you're assuming that most of the time you're going to use weapons by themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not feeling it.
Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm racking my brain here thinking how I can make this work, and I don't think I can get it to a level of consistency I'm comfortable with. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges with combo, which is a really cool mechanic. It's just the nature of this game, as you've mentioned, is so 50-50 hit-miss, right? That you can't rely on consecutively hitting 50-50. Because then your percentages goes down.
And I think there is a ploy that'll make the next attack action you make have combo. I think that released with maybe Worm Spat or something. So, I mean, there are ways to boost it, but yeah, it's just not... it's just not quite there yet, I don't think. But maybe I'll give it a try with the Blade Covenant and report back.
Yeah, yeah, let me know, because I think for the level of investment, I don't know if it's... has, again, that level of consistency. But maybe, you know, I'd love for someone to make a combo deck work. I really wish I could have seen what Dean was brewing at the time. And maybe we can, you know, maybe we can just try build some combo decks and see if we can make it function.
Yeah, that would probably be fun.
Well, speaking of functioning attacks, let's jump to Frenzied Assault. It's an attack action upgrade. Range 1, 1 fury, 1 damage. This attack action's damage characteristic cannot be modified, so it'll always do 1 damage, and it hits on 1 fury. Reaction. After this fighter successfully makes this attack action, they make this attack action. It must target the same fighter. So in theory, if you somehow manage to get, like, one attack off, then you can go again. And if you get that second attack off, you can go again. And essentially, as long as you keep hitting, you can infinitely keep swinging as long as the attack is successful, which means you have dealt damage.
That's true.
So if there's a way in which you can get this up to like 4 or 5 glory, I mean, not glory, but accuracy, like fury.
Yeah.
Then maybe, I don't know, this kind of busts the game down. I don't know.
I think you take Hrothgord, you give him Strength of Terror and the Hunter's Talisman. Then you're hitting with 3 fury with a reroll. And then it's like something like a 65% chance.
And you can also take like one of his upgrades where he can reroll one attack die. So then you can reroll 2 dice hitting on 3 fury.
Yeah, and you might even hit for 3.
You could cheese this with Hrothgord, I think, and
yeah, you might get 3 or 4 damage out of it with that. Yeah, this is a cool one, but it's just not good. Like, that's the problem with it.
Yeah, it's really a cool idea.
Against 1 dodge, this is a 25% chance to hit.
I like those odds.
Yeah, so you have to multiply by 25% every time. So let's go to the next one. It is Gauntlet of Command. It is has a special keyword, Mortis Relic, and it has a reaction. After this fighter's activation, spend 1 glory point. If you do, push 1 friendly fighter, 1 hex. What do you think about that?
So I was actually not really sure about these Mortis Relic cards when I first saw them, but after just rolling some dice around and just kind of seeing, like playing against myself and just seeing the power behind the Mortis Relics, I think that they're still niche cards for sure, but they're actually pretty decent. So after you activate, you spend a glory and you can push a friendly fighter 1 hex.
Oh, and actually, I skipped the first part of the card, which is if this fighter has 2 or more Mortis Relics, you get +1 wounds as well.
Right on. Yeah. So I think this is actually really solid for, like, maybe people who care about standing on, like, feature tokens. So, if you get Mischievous Spirits or, you know, you're not able to get all your fighters back on and you have an activation left, then maybe this is a really cool way for you to do that. Or this can get you coveted spoils. This can get you uncontested. I mean, there's so many options here. I really like the idea of it. I think the glory tax throws me off a little bit because, like, 1 glory for sidestep, you know, is that worth it? And remember, it's any fighter, so it doesn't have to be this fighter. But
And I think that's what makes it potentially powerful, because if, say, the queen is in the back line and she has this, you know, and so she'll swing at somebody and then push a chain rasp onto an objective in the, you know, somewhere in the background, or she'll push herself within range of the next attack or onto the objective of the person that she just, you know, attacked. So, and a lot of the time you just take dual speed, which obviously doesn't take a glory, but this does have more usefulness potential because you can push other fighters. I think it's interesting. I think that it's almost like a Quickening Greaves that happens in the middle of the round. It's definitely better on fighters that you plan to make a lot of activations with, because then you can use it more than once.
Yeah, like, I think it could be cool on a very aggressive warband or an objective warband if you're trying to just move around stuff. And then the combination with another Mortis Relic, The plus one wounds is nice because you want your fighter protected if they're going to be using this reaction so much. But you really have to have a big glory, like pool or ceiling in your deck. So this is why I'm only thinking it really works with objective warbands or like a hyper aggressive, like aggro warband, maybe with like a bunch of Amberbone weapons or like Toma Offering.
Well, I think it might also work on the very large fighters.
Yeah, exactly. But. Like Moloch, like Tome of Offering. Right. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see. Yep. Yeah. I think that once you start stacking them, they potentially become even more useful, which I guess the next one is also a Mortis Relic.
Yeah. It's Gauntlet of Dominance, which I think they both have amazing card art. Like the Gauntlet of Command starts with the right hand made pawns of the willing. And then the text continues like ... while the left contained the power to subjugate the weak ... So this one's really cool. So if this fighter has two or more Mortis Relics, so it's essentially if you equip the Infinity Gauntlet and like, you know, the other gauntlet, because this one looks like the Infinity Gauntlet, you get plus one damage to this fighter's range one and range two attack actions. And on top of that, reaction after this fighter's activation, spend one glory if you do push one enemy fighter one hex.
Yeah.
So this is gnarly. And I think this is really, really good for anti-objective / aggro warbands. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that the two of them together is really annoying because plus one wounds is totally worth a slot. Plus one damage, totally worth a slot. You know, like we were saying, Molog wants both of those things anyway. Hrothakorn wants both of those things anyway. And then having the option to do these other things is really useful. So I think we will see some of this in some builds. Being able to basically pay one glory for a distraction after a fighter's activation is absolutely going to be worth it sometimes. I don't think there's any way around that. You'll be able to kill fighters that you pushed near lethal. A lot of the time we're playing with the Amber board, you could knock somebody into a lethal, then push them, and then distract them for like three damage. I think there's a lot of use for this.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the only challenge people are going to have is, you know, half the card isn't really, honestly, like, usable until you have a second Mortis Relic on. And there's a total of three, which we'll get into the third one eventually when it pops up. But the challenge is that this is a two-glory investment, which you're not always going to get. So you're playing with half a card until you get two. And then essentially you're playing with, like, four cards in a way, because there's four different abilities that can combine here. So
Although you will always have to choose between those two reactions.
Correct, yeah. But the flexibility is really cool. The challenge is that there's so many good upgrades.
Yeah, that's like, true.
How are you going to fit this in your deck? I mean, I guess if you really want it to happen, you can. But I was trying to build a deck earlier today, and like I just clicked through a bunch of upgrades I thought would be useful. And then by the time I went through like seven pages of upgrades, I had like 19 upgrades in my deck. And I was like, oh, man, I have to cut nine of these? Okay, well, you know. There goes like all the cool stuff I wanted to try.
That is true. Do you mind if we just skip to the third one and get it out of the way?
Yeah, let's do it.
So the third one is the Crown of the Dead, also a Mortis Relic. This is the third one. If this fighter has two or more Mortis Relics, you can reroll one attack dice and this fighter's attack rolls. Reaction, after this fighter's activation, spend one glory point. If you do, draw two power cards and then discard one power card.
And the crown had the power to smite the living and the dead.
That's so cool the way that they did the flavor text and everything. Super cool.
Yeah.
But this is also an excellent effect. A dice reroll is, you know, normally something that you would want. But I think you're right about all the useful upgrades right now. Like if you're playing Molog, you know, do you play the Avatar or do you play these or do you play something else? I do think that if you play them at all, you should probably play all three. Because then you're more likely to get two of them. And as soon as you get two of them, they're worth like every penny of what they give you.
So the only reason I would challenge that statement is you could take two and play like a to the end package.
Yeah.
And then you're pretty reasonable getting them.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think you're mostly correct because that's a lot of investment. I think that's like at the very minimum two power cards, which is 20% of your gambits. I do think that if you're going to take two, it's the crown and then one of the other gauntlets. And it just depends on what you value more. Disruption or pushing your own fighters.
Yep. I think that's a pretty good breakdown of it. Yep.
Yeah, I think, like, for example, if you want to put this on Molog, right, because he's the one who can abuse activations the most, you know, being able to draw into your deck to score to the end versus distracting enemy fighters to get closer and closer into Molog's grasp, I think is very powerful. Again, is it going to see play? Is it worth a slot over, you know, Tome of Offering or Strength of Terror or Substance Siphon, Blooming Spores? We don't know.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing, if you look at Mike's deck, is that he has Foul Temper, which is the reroll. He has Great Strength, which is the damage. And he has Great Fortitude, which is the wounds. So the only thing that he would be relying on would be that he have two of them at the same time to get those effects. And then once he does, he gets the other bonus effects. And until he does, he gets the bonus effects. So I don't know. I would try it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll all... Mike's in our practice group, so I'm sure he's going to yeah. play this, and we're going to just either cry or cry anyways because it's Molog, so.
Yeah. Cool. You want to read the next one?
I think I did Gauntlet of Dominance, so you got Grave Siren.
Oh, I thought I did the Crown, but...
You did. Okay, if you insist. Grave Siren, reaction after you place a raise counter on this fighter's card, push one enemy fighter one hex. Reaction before a friendly fighter would be taken out of action. If this card is in your hand, give this upgrade to that fighter. This does not cost a glory point. So this is extremely similar to Ambusher.
Yeah.
Except you get to move an enemy fighter one hex. So it's, I guess, a second distraction.
Oh, yeah. Or really a third if you're playing skeletons. Yeah. So I think that it's good... because it's an upgrade. Like, if it was a ploy, I don't think it would be good because you would just take distraction. What do you think about that?
So I don't think you need more than two distraction, honestly. Yeah. I think every deck's going to take Mischievous Spirits either to further their machinations or deny their opponents. And I think you take distraction because you'd be silly if you didn't. And then if you're playing skeletons, you'd probably take their in-house distraction, which I think is like Terrifying Howl or something, or Scream. So... Yeah. You have two distractions and a Mischievous Spirits in your deck. Do you really need a fourth disruption card? And the answer might be yes, but because it's an upgrade and yeah. it's incumbent upon one of your fighters, you know, kicking the bucket, I don't know if it's entirely worth it. Now, keep in mind that, as you mentioned, on average, you're probably going to resurrect, you know, two to three fighters a game. Yeah. But are they going to happen at moments that you want them to? Are they going to, you know, happen when... it's ideal for you to disrupt your opponent? Maybe not.
Yeah, but I think you're right.
But with those other three cards, it is. It's totally in your control.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. The next one is Head Bash. It is a weapon upgrade, 2 smash, 2 damage. It has the combo finisher reaction. After this fighter's successful attack action with combo, make this attack action. It must target the same fighter. When made in this way, if this attack action is successful, give the target 1 charge token. So the reason I don't like this is that you've already hit them twice. You probably don't need to give them a charge token.
Well, it's interesting because the card art gets like shows someone like Hawthorne getting headbutted.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess if you're really trying to take down like a big boy, then you know, you might build in the combo, which is seriously a consideration. I think that's exactly why Dean did it, is because he was trying to take down Duncan's amazing Hrothgorn build at the time.
Yeah, probably.
So maybe combo works when you're trying to take down the big boys. So I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of it again. And I think that charge token is devastating. Imagine getting that on a Hrothgorn in the first activation, right? Like, deal like, I don't know, maybe like 4 to 5 damage on Hrothgorn and then give him a charge token. Kill him.
When it works, it would be really annoying, but so would the 4 damage. You know?
Yeah, it might just be worth to just smack him with Art Skull instead.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just like the I think Gerzag had an upgrade where he has a headbutt where it's like 2 damage and it gives a charge token, something like that. And it's situationally useful, but usually you just want to kill the thing. So I don't know. And you know, you're making an attack with a powerful fighter. This might be a little bit better because you can put it on anybody. But I just think it's a little bit subpar. But we can go to the next one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Heart Thief. This awful weapon inflicts a gruesome death from afar, 4 range, 2 fury, 1 damage, plus 1 damage if the target has a greater wounds characteristic than this fighter. I really, really like the effect.
Yeah.
I don't like the accuracy.
Yeah, I'm glad that they said that it was an awful weapon. No. I'm kidding.
Wow.
No.
Spicy.
2 fury is just tough. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's just not accurate enough.
Interestingly, though, if you're playing a bunch of accuracy or you have strength of... No, strength of terror doesn't work on this, does it?
I mean, I don't know if you would take it in Profiteers if you had, like, the Archer's Focus. I just don't think you would, you know?
Well, Strength of Terror, does that only work on...
I think it's range 1 and 2, yeah.
Yeah, it's range 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're... I don't know, it's too much investment.
Yeah. It's interesting, but it's just not good enough, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it looks like a really cool bow, too. Like, I don't know if you've ever read, like, the Legend of Driz series.
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah. It looks exactly like one of these, the bows one of the main characters has with, like, a magical quiver. And so when I first saw this card, I saw the card art, I was like, oh, I can't wait to read this, Heart Thief. And then I read the 2 Fury, and I'm like, jaw drops. I'm like, are you serious, dude?
Yeah. Oh, well. The next one is Hungry for Vengeance. Once bitten, twice as angry. If this fighter has 1 or more raise counters on their card, plus 1 dice to this fighter's range 1 and range 2 attack actions, and then it has the same reaction as the other ones where when the fighter is taken out of action, you can give them this upgrade for free. But this is a permanent buff, plus 1 dice, as long as they have the raise counters, which they will when you bring them back, I guess. So it's basically Strength of Terror, I guess.
For free.
For free. But you have to bring the guy back to get it. I think it's okay.
I think this is crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, granted, you have to have it in your hand just to get the reaction, right? You can still spend a glory to put this on a fighter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I guess you're right, because as long as you've brought the champion back, you can still, you know, even if you didn't have it in your hand when he died, you could still put it on.
So this is just a second copy of Strength of Terror for this warband.
Yeah, it sort of is. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think it's cray cray. I don't know.
It just doesn't work on the warden. It doesn't work, you know, early game if you don't have a guy with a raise counter. It's just more situational. But yeah, it's not bad.
So yeah, I mean, I think maybe if people are playing into Spolko Guard, they might just avoid, like, to hit like the champion and the prince and the harrower.
Yeah, but you should.
You should, but, I mean, if they become a nuisance, you're going to have to take them out, and sometimes you need the glory. But, like, this on the... Or, sorry, not the Harrower, the Harvester. Like, imagine this on the Harvester, dude. 4 Fury scything attacks.
Oh, yeah, it's mean. You know, it's
like,
definitely mean.
Like, 4 Smash on the Champion. 4 Smash on the Prince. It's crazy. It's crazy good. I really like it.
Cool.
Ignoble Blow. Every warrior has a vulnerable spot. And the trick of fighting dirty is to always take advantage of it. Range 1, 3 fury, 2 damage combo attack action upgrade. In the determined success step, if you rolled the same total of critical successes and successes as the target players, and, in parentheses, at least 1 success, add 1 success to your total. Does this sound familiar to you?
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of like a very specific upper hand.
It's actually like probably the way upper hand should have been written.
Yeah. Because it does have to be at least 1, which means that unlike upper hand, which ended up being a massive accuracy boost because it was a tie or, you know, no successes, I think a lot of the time this ends up being a very small percentage of the time that it matters. So it's like 7% against, I think it's like 7% against 1 dodge, 11% against 2 dodge. So it's actually not bad. That is a good bit damage or accuracy buff to 3 fury. So I think it's neat.
I think it is neat. And I think it's a cool way to start the combo. This actually probably increases your ability to get combo in.
Yeah.
Because you make this attack action, you'll win on a tie.
It's probably then, about the equivalent of four Fury.
Probably, yeah. So I think this is the card that you probably want to use as your combo starter or your combo builder.
Yeah, I think it may be the best one.
Yeah, I think it might be the best one.
Cool, I think we've talked about combo a lot, so let's go to the next one. It is Invigor Mortis. It is a reaction upgrade. After you place a raise counter on this fighter's fighter card, deal one damage to each adjacent enemy fighter. Importantly, though, this one does not have the other reaction where you get to give this to a fighter for free. So they have to have this on them already when they die.
So it's a major deterrent to killing that fighter. But if you put it on a target that the opponent cannot avoid, like a Voltron champion or someone like that, then what you can do is you can, you know, put in Vigor Mortis on them. They die. And then you come back with Ambusher or... What's that other one where you can just pop up anywhere on the map? No, that's the same. What's the one where you can pop anywhere on the map? Is that a upgrade or is that a...
I think that was one of the first upgrades we read.
Yeah, if you can combo that and then they don't take the same reaction window.
Ambusher, yeah.
Ambusher. So after you place... No, it's the same reaction window. Right? After you place... Yeah, so never mind. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then
Yeah, not much to see there. Let's go to the next one.
Spiteful Lunge. Bleed with me.
Murgroth is so creepy.
Dude, he just looks like he stabbed himself with some spear.
Yeah, that is the one that's stabbing himself, right, on the waddle?
He's like drawing like a cut across his chest to show you how hard he is, but he just wilts over when you smack at him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like no wonder you only have three wounds, Murgroth. You just hit yourself for one.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. So this is an upgrade reaction. When there are enough wound tokens on this fighter's fighter card for them to be taken out of action, but before they are taken out of action, roll one attack die. On a roll of a crit, choose one enemy fighter within 3 hexes of this fighter. That enemy fighter is taken out of action. Yikes.
This is the ultimate, like, rebound card.
This really, really scares me. Because I know when this gets played, they're going to roll a crit.
Yeah, I know.
And on that 16% chance, they just literally rip the game away from you.
I know. Well, and then there's that other card that'll let you try a roll again. I forget what it's called. I think it's a power-up bound card that no one has ever played. But
oh, God.
This is the ultimate anti-Moloch card, too. It's like, bye.
But yeah, but I just don't know if it's worth an upgrade slot. Again, like, there's just so many good upgrades that you probably don't take this. I think whenever I practice in the mic, I'm just going to throw this in my deck just to mess with them a little bit. But
yeah,
I don't think I'm going to actually ever take this to an event because it's just not worth it. 16% chance. I mean, rebound is questionable by some people of the community because it works on 33.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is about this one, first you have to put the upgrade on. So the opponent has to decide to roll the dice, you know? So you have to put it on somebody that you know, want to deter, I guess. And there are better deterrent cards, I think. I think Crown of Avarice is a better deterrent card, things like that. And then even if they do kill across, like, an event, you're probably only going to get it off once or twice. And I don't know, maybe that wins you a game, but it's just not that good, I don't think. But it's scary for sure.
It's definitely a deterrent. I think, like, the best way to play it would be just stick it on a fighter that you don't want to die. And then, like, scare your opponent. I still think I would take the risk. Like, if you have 5 tomes on you and Spiteful Lunge, I'm still going to kill your fighter.
Yeah, and importantly, the fighter still dies. So it's better against some warbands than others. You know, like, in the tome situation, you'll sacrifice a lot of fighters. I might sacrifice certain small fighters for big fighters anyway. It's just annoying. I also think there is the Skaven potential where you have Expendable on one fighter, this on another one, and then Crown of Avarice on another one. But, yay! Skaven!
Oh, God, yeah. This can keep coming back.
Yeah, you can also, like, suicide a fighter and then try to roll yourself if they don't trigger it. I don't know if there's really any other ways to game it.
Ban this card. Count. Ban it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not. It's not a good card. It's just when it works, it's going to be crazy.
I just know someone's going to figure it out with Skaven or I don't know or Grimwatch.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Maybe.
Let's go to the next one. It looks pretty tight.
Yes, it is tight defense. The flavor text says only the most determined of fighters can break through this warrior's defenses. Ooh. Reaction. After the declare attack action step, if this fighter was declared as the target of a range 1 or range 2 attack action, give this fighter 1 guard token. So importantly, this blocks a lot of enemy reactions like Potion of Rage, which is kind of nice. It's basically the upgrade version of Buried Instinct, I guess.
It's very similar to Survival in 6 is the most apt.
Yeah, that's true too, yeah.
That's the most apt comparison, I think. It's effectively Survival Instincts, except it's better because it blocks reaction windows. And it's a reaction, so it's great for Treacherous Foe, as if Thorns needed the help.
But. That's true. It doesn't make you a quarry, which, interestingly, is actually a downside because you want to be a quarry in this meta. if it made you a quarry, then it would be the ultimate version of Survival Instincts. But yeah, it's very good because range 1 and 2 is, you know, most of the attacks that you see. And being on guard is great right now if you don't have to spend an activation to do it.
Yeah, I think this is a really, really good card.
Yeah.
It's one of it's an amazing card. But this next one is even better.
It's true.
Vision of Glory. Notice that it says glory in the name, like Path to Glory. True warrior. Yeah. True warriors need no trinkets to denote success, no monuments to their triumphs, only war. Endless, perfect war. Reaction. After an activation, spend 1 glory point. If you do, remove 1 move token or 1 charge token from this fighter, then discard this upgrade.
Yeah.
What's the hot take?
So it's obviously powerful. Being able to charge with a fighter and then remove the fighter, remove the charge token, and then be able to charge again is great. I think it's a very cool design space because this upgrade does effectively cost 2 glory to use, which isn't small, especially at certain points in the early game. And also importantly, the other player will always have 1 full activation to respond to this, because if you have it on you already and you charge and you remove the token, then they have their next activation. If you charge and then you put it on afterwards, then they have their activation. There's no way to like time trap the other person. They're always going to be able to do something before you get that second charge off.
I will challenge that.
Okay.
This works with at any cost.
Sure.
So you can charge, hit somebody, spend 2 glory or 1 glory, and then spend another 3 glory. So in total, 5 glory for this wombo combo. But it can work. And then you can charge again without any cost.
Well, so no, you have to activate after an activation. You react after the activation. So you'd have to charge with at any cost. And then you'd have to do something during that activation, right?
Well, so my understanding is that you make a charge action with this, then you react, and then you remove your charge token. Then you play at any cost.
Oh, yeah, right.
You spend 3 glory, and perfect. Then you can make a charge action.
Yeah, so you have to have 2 glory. You have to put this on. You have to charge. You have to remove the token. And then you have to have 3 more glory and at any cost. Yep, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I don't mind that being in the game if I have to have 5 glory to do it and 2 very specific cards. So it's cool.
Yeah, super cool. Super, super, super cool. This makes me want to play Wild Hunt or Rippas and put Tome of Offering and Tome of Glories. No, Trophy Hunter on them. And then just do some crazy shenanigans.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it is that it also kind of encourages early aggression. And by early, I mean early in the round, where I feel like sometimes you can sort of stall until the later activations, although maybe not in the second and third round. But I think we're going to see a lot of this. It's just so good to be able to charge with a fighter, and then either you force the other person to focus that fighter because you know they're about to charge again, or they'll just get to charge again. So, and then obviously it's great on Molog and Hrothgorn and those big fighters that, you know, are sort of balanced by the fact they only get a certain number of charges.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is definitely an amazing card, but I also don't think it's an auto include in every style, because I don't think, like I don't know if you fit this in objective warbands. Like, you probably want to spend the, you know, glory on Quickening Greaves and Spectral Armor and things like that. I mean, unless you're playing like a flex aggro objective warband, which I guess you can nowadays.
I think so.
This card is good, but don't get confused. Like, follow your game plan. And if you got the room for it, then maybe throw it in. But like, really think about why you want this card. Is it just because you want another charge token? And is that worth you potentially like losing out on consistency for your glory deck?
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, I think I would take it in. I would think I would take it in Thorns if it's not restricted right now. But just because of how good the queen is. But I don't know. Like, if you're able to charge with the fighter and then put on some health upgrades or spectral armor or something, then it's very good. But I think you're right. I don't think it's as obviously powerful as it seems to be, because there is some technicality to its use. And if you put it on, and then, like, let's say you put it on somebody and then you charge and then you react, you've just spent two glory. If I then kill that fighter, that's not very good for you.
Yes, it's not.
Which may mean that the best way to do it is to charge first and then put it on and then wait to react after the opponent's activation. But, you know, that's just a...
Well, I think the ideal situation is you play this in the end phase and then hopefully you win roll off. But even then, it doesn't matter, because you're not really going to get the back-to-back unless you have at any cost. So,
yeah, I guess the main thing is wait until your opponent's activation to react. And the other thing that does is it blocks a lot of things. This actually blocks wolf attacks. This blocks Snurk Inspire, and Snurk Inspire will block it as well. So, but I think usually Snurk will have Inspired by the time you bring this out. But something to be aware of.
Yeah. So a pretty nuanced card, but one that, you know, we can both agree is very powerful and very enticing for sure. And we've got one card left. And are we going to end on a high note?
Maybe not. Maybe. It's Wearding Staff. It is a weapon upgrade. The text says, "This staff will grant the wielder great power, yet it comes at a great price." So it is... for wizards only, but it is a weapon upgrade that is range 2, 2 fury, 2 damage. And during the deal damage step, spend 2 glory points. If you do, add this wizard's or fighter's wizard level to this attack action. It's a damage characteristic. So for a lot of wizards, this will be a 4 damage attack action.
But 2 fury. And cost 2 glory points.
Oh, yeah, and it's 2 glory points to do that... upgrade. It's interesting. I'm trying to think about who I would play. What wizards would I want this on? I guess Cursebreakers are the obvious choice.
I mean, maybe Karthane?
Yeah.
But he's only wizard 1 unless he's inspired.
Because the thing about the queen is you just give her great strength and then she's doing 4 damage.
And she's more accurate.
And she's more, yeah.
Maybe Thedra?
Maybe. But, I mean, you just give her great strength and she's doing 4 damage.
Yeah, I'm trying
not to range think, 2, but... yeah.
Fecula, maybe? No, I don't think you give it to Fecula either. 2 smash... maybe, and not even Grashrak, because he goes to...
yeah.
2 smash, 2 damage with Cleave. Ilthari, probably not. Zarbag, maybe? But no, 3 smash, 2 damage, and Cleave is still better.
And I mean, even with something like, I could see there'd be situations where you could combo this with a Haymaker, you could combo this with Strength of Terror, you can combo this with other accuracy things. So you may be able to hit that attack. But, and there's other ways you know, you're still spending 3 glory to do it and you're using an upgrade. So I just think that there's usually going to be other ways, and Wizard only tends to be pretty restrictive if you're not playing Cursebreakers, and I don't think Cursebreakers really need this. They tend to be pretty high damage anyway.
Yeah, looks like we're passing.
Yep, and that is the very last one.
So 40 cards in Arena Mortis. Really cool stuff. I think some really great cards. Any cards that stand out to you? Like, how do you think the meta is going to react to this stuff?
Yeah, so I think we will see some of these for sure. I think we'll see a little bit of At Any Cost. I think Distracting Wealth, we'll probably see some play. Obviously, Vision of Glory. I think that's the big winner. Maybe the Gauntlets or the Mortis Relics. You got any hot takes there?
Yeah, I think people are going to try the Mortis Relic stuff, and yeah. I think some warbands will find success and some won't. Vision and Glory, tight defense, super great cards. We'll probably see a lot more guard because clearly they just got like 7, 8, 9 more cards.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see on the stats how much more skeleton nonsense we get to experience. They're a fun warband to play, so.
No, I think they really are. Yeah. I think the most appealing cards, though, for me are like At Any Cost and then like the 3 or 4 upgrades we just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, one of the things that sticks out to me is just how cool a lot of the design space is. We haven't seen anything like a lot of these cards. And I think importantly, there's not really anything here that like screams overpowered to me. There's not anything here that, you know, a fairly, I would say, typical banned restricted list update won't solve. There's nothing here that really makes me think that, you know, there's going to be an unbalanced meta resulting from any of this. So I think I'm very happy with the set in general.
Yeah, I think it's a good mix of good cards, okay cards, and cards that make you think.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to see where the meta goes. I don't know if this makes Thorns stronger or dethrones them. I think it makes them stronger because like Vision of Glory and Tight Defense specifically are reactions, as well as the Mortis Relics. So lots of reactions that have been added to this game that make Treacherous Foe such a consistent card.
That's true.
If it wasn't so already.
I do think they're going to have trouble fitting a lot of those in there. They may have to pick a couple. They may have to take out Absolute Stillness if they're going to try to do that. So it is interesting in that respect. When you're a warband like Thorns that has so many great options already, I wonder, you know, how many like there's so many good upgrades. How do they fit? But
that's the question. How do they fit? And I don't know. I don't think they do quite candidly, but. I think it's a great set. I mean, we get 2 boards, which we haven't even talked about the boards yet. Maybe we should, but
yeah, I'm pretty happy with the boards. We can go over them real quick if you want.
Yeah. I mean, overall, like it's a lot of value in this set, and I don't know. It's like what, $40?
I think so. I'm going to have to find out when I pre-order it.
Yeah. Well, there's 2 boards. So one side is called the Shade Cursed Lair. The defining traits about it is that there's 2 lethal hexes on edge hexes, and then two blocked hexes right next to each other. I think it's a great reaction board. What do you think?
Yeah, so I like it for putting down first, except that if you get longboarded, it's probably a little bit annoying to have that lethal hex in front of your one starting hex on that side. But I'm actually not even sure how bad that actually is. So I think this is a board I would put down first, because there's also not really too many diagonal setups that I hate, especially if I'm playing like Mollig or Hrothgorn. I guess I've been playing a lot of Hrothgorn, so this looks like a great Hrothgorn board for me. But otherwise, I think it's a pretty good board to put down second as well.
Yeah. Like for me, I see what your point. It's really good for aggro. Especially some of the big boys, because you're always going to get a nice, favorable spot. Yeah,
now that I look at the way that it would be set up against the Amber board, I think maybe it's only a good board for Hrothgorn and Mollig to put down first.
Yeah, I think this is an amazing reaction board because it gives you so many options. Pretty versatile board, and I really like the card art.
And speaking of the amber board, hopefully they'll just cycle that one out now that this one's out.
Yeah, I mean, if they go by the way of the Arcane Nexus, then it'll probably be upon the release of Dire Chasm. But here's hoping that it's before that.
Right. I don't think I'll miss that one too much. What do you think about the other one, the Ravaged Hall?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one because I think it's a pretty central board. So maybe this is one you place first. Because I think it can be used offensively and defensively.
Yeah, this one really doesn't have too many bad diagonal setups.
Yeah. The interesting thing about it is that every corner has a block tax.
Right.
So keep that in mind when you do get diagonal board that, like, you'll only really have two hexes to get in.
Do you think that's very relevant, though?
If they put a lethal hex there, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But you can defend it with your own lethal hex, I guess. I guess it depends.
Or an objective, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you could put an objective there because of the way that the setup would be. But yeah, that's interesting. I'm excited just to have some more options. And then in the next season, I hope that they just cycle out all the old ones. I would love everything amber board and before just to go away. I think there's too many boards, but I like having new ones. So,
yeah, you know, maybe they should start cycling boards out in seasons. That'd be interesting.
I mean, I think they started it. They just they had re-released the Shadespire ones in Nightfall. So, I guess my hope is that so technically all the Shadespire boards are gone, and now I just want all the Nightfall boards to be gone.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just also a lot for new players to have to buy. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like it. I think it's cool. I think that they look different and they're not, you know, obviously powerful, but I think the set as a whole is cool. It comes with a game mode that looks like a lot of fun, two great boards, and some cool cards. So
I like it. You think it's worth the buy?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And it's not because I get review copies.
I normally get review copies, and I guess I didn't for some reason this time, so I will be buying it. And, I think it'll be worth it.
I'm not sure why you didn't.
I don't know.
You need to cause a hullabaloo over email.
I don't know. Maybe they just forgot. But okay. Is there anything else that we want to cover? I guess we just do want to announce again that we are doing the Arena Mortis contest for our Patreons. Basically, what we want to know from our Patreons for them to enter is what is their favorite fighter plus three upgrades for Arena Mortis. If you know how Arena Mortis works, you start with one fighter and you get to put a bunch of upgrades on them over the course of the game. So we'll be judging based on a combination of creativity, power, and then just overall fun factor. We're just going to pick our favorites. And submissions, we'll be accepting them between now and the 25th. So 5 more days when Arena Mortis comes out.
Yes, and keep in mind that creativity is an important one for me. There's some really cool ones that are, I think, kind of obvious in terms of strength. But if you can wow us in a way in which we may have not thought of, I think that'll go a long way. Yeah. Friendly tip there.
Yeah, I think so.
Right on, dude. Well, that concludes our episode card commentary on Arena Mortis. If you have any questions or feedback, you know, just let us know. But I think people like these episodes. We got a good response on the first one.
Yeah, and this one is just under 2 hours, which is probably a little bit easier to listen to.
Yeah, but apparently people don't mind 3-hour podcasts. I mean, that one was one of our most listened to episodes in a while. So I was kind of hoping this would hit the 2-hour mark. But
as much as I would love to waste 10 more minutes or... I don't know if our listeners would want that. So,
well, I wouldn't call it a waste.
That's fair.
It'd just be fun conversation, but we'll probably talk for like 20, 30 minutes after this episode is over anyway. So
what fighter would you pick for Arena Mortis?
Dude, that's a good question. I think I really like Camus.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did an article on the Warhammer community, and that was one of the ones they picked. I think Snark would be hilarious.
Oh, God.
And then you go from there to what if everybody takes Snark?
That's wild.
You have four snarks. I don't think it would work. I don't know how you would win, but it would be really funny.
Yeah, maybe Lund, because you can cheat. Can you inspire in Arena Mortis? I actually don't
know. Yeah, you start inspired, I think.
Oh, okay. I was about to say you could maybe cheat the three.
Yeah.
The three wound to four wound, but maybe Lund. Maybe. I feel like Sapsimus would be really good. What about you?
Yeah, I think that most of the big fighters would be really good. I think Hungering Skaven could be interesting. I think there's a lot of interesting ones. I guess I don't want to steal too many entries from the Patreons, but and of course they'll have all the fun upgrades to combo it with. But
well, we eagerly await our patrons' submissions, but I think that's all we've got.
Yep, and the winner will get a copy of Arena Mortis. I don't know if we said that clearly, but all right. Well, I think that is going to be it for this episode. Once again, thank you to our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to join our current Patreons, you can do so at patreon.com/pathtoglory. If you have any feedback, questions, or comments, let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Discord at Path to Glory Podcast. Please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get the podcast. As always, thanks for listening, and we wish you the best of luck on your Path to Glory.
I dare you to put Weirding Staff in your deck for the next Grand Clash.
Weird.